Now, what's good news for me is not so good news for you. The clock is covered. I cannot see the time. So, we are going quite literally into the unknown here. So let's see what time we finish at. Well, last year at the Fisherman's Service, I reported to you that in my 6 years here in Annalong, I had accepted one invitation to go out on a fishing boat. And I shared that experience with you and all that I had learned in those 6 years. Well, since last year, I am happy to report I have made it out again on a fishing boat. It was an overcast day during the summer, but the water was calm and we set out from Annalong Harbour. It perhaps wasn't the best of starts as the skipper who was assisting me onto the boat dropped some of my gear into the water. But we quickly got over that and off we set. There were three of us in the boat, the owner, his son, and myself. And very soon it was communicated to me that there was very little expectation in what I would be able to do that day, except sit there and enjoy the scenery while the real fisherman got on with the job. In fact, they even went as far as to suggest I would be the one with webbed toes. Some of you know what that means. Others are completely oblivious. Now, if you, like me, didn't know what that meant, well, it simply meant, my simple explanation is, that you'd be the one who wouldn't catch anything. And it perhaps wasn't the most encouraging start to our few hours together. Still, I wasn't one to be discouraged, and I did my best. And it turned out that my best was better than anyone expected. Because once again, two trips out of two trips, my presence on a fishing boat demonstrated a successful catch of fish, with no webbed toes on my part at all. So, I'm not looking for extra business. However, with a 100% success rate in your catch, I may be available in the summer months. So as much as I enjoyed being out in the open water, there was something about this trip that did intrigue me. I was intrigued by the technology on the boat. And on the boat, there was a very small piece of kit that allowed you to see the depth of the water below you and where the shoals of fish would be. And the colouring on the screen showed what you needed to know so that you could get a good catch and have a successful day. But that was only one part of the screen. Because while the rest simply told you what was around you, how vast the sea is, even though we were just a little bit off the shore, through colours and lines, you could see where you were to know how much water was underneath you and truly how small you were in this great sea. And it's often been said through song and through poems as well, just how small you feel when out on the water. On land, we talk about just how small village life is, or how much smaller the world is becoming. And we're often found with the phrase on our lips, it's a small world, isn't it? Because we are starting to connect with people and events impact our lives, even though they may be happening right around the world. But in reality, the world still remains a big place. And being out on the water demonstrates this. And in Psalm 107, we learn of the vastness of the seas, but also how in the midst of them and the storms that rage, we have a great God who sees us through and keeps those who trust in him. And so this psalm is about God's people acknowledging his constant care for them as they look to him as their God and seek to worship him as his people. Now, many of you here today know the sea not simply as a postcard. You know it as a workplace. And just like verse 23 tells us of the people of Israel, they too went down to the seas to work. Now, for those of you that do know the sea as your workplace, it's not something to be simply admired from the shore, but it's something that must be respected. And throughout Scripture, there are many times when the sea is mentioned, but it is never romanticized. It treats it honestly and describes the waters of the deep as powerful, unpredictable, and beyond human control. This is against everything that society today would want us to believe about ourselves, that we can control everything, but If you've ever tried even to control the bathwater, you know you can't do it. And so verse 23 tells us of those who go to work on those waters that they cannot control. People earning a living in some of the most dangerous conditions, knowing that mistakes cost lives. And this psalm tells a story many of you will recognize, not just about the sea, but about life itself. And so this psalm helpfully divides for us into three sections. The first one is, the sea reminds us how small we really are. As the psalm speaks to these merchants who are going out on the sea, verse 24 tells us, they saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. Now, I've come to realize that there's something about leaving the harbor that changes your perspective. I've heard it from a number of you, that there's a recognition of turning out of the harbor and setting your heading eastwards into the Irish Sea. Something clicks in your mind as you make your way out. I think we all know that the purpose of a harbor and a harbor wall is to be safe. It's to keep the vessels secure in a storm, but also a place where they can come and offload their catch. And so that whole aspect of commerce and trade can happen. So whenever we look at a harbor, we see it as being a place of many purposes. But as we've seen this week, a harbor needs to be a place that is safe. Because everything inside the harbor wall feels manageable. You can see the land. You know where you are. But once you pass out into open water, once the land begins to drop away behind you, the scale changes. The balance that you thought of safety and security now tips. Fishermen from Port of Vogue, Ardglass, Kilkeel, and Annalong tell the same thing. The further out you go, the boat feels smaller, the horizon wider, and you realize very quickly who is in charge. And it isn't you. The sea has a way of stripping away the illusion that we are in control. And Psalm 107 says that out there in the vastness of the deep, they saw the deeds of the Lord. Not in comfort, not in safety, but in awe. In awe of who God is, of how he continues to control his creation. And you see, for many of us, whether we've ever set foot on a boat or not, we live or we want to live as if we're still in the harbor. We want to live within those walls, a place that we know, where everything feels manageable, but that's not how it goes. In that image of a harbor, we perceive that life is steady, that health is good, that plans seem solid. And in many ways, then God feels optional. But the sea, as giving us a picture here of life itself, eventually takes us beyond the harbor wall and we face those difficulties that come our way. And that's what's on the horizon here in verse 25. And Jesus was the one who knew of the storms of life that we would face. He was fully man, yet fully God. And he was the one through whom all things were made, as John chapter 1 tells us. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a kind warning before the storms arise. And he tells us not to worry. He says, don't worry, trust in me. He tells us in Matthew 6 not to worry about what we will eat or drink or about what we will wear. And he uses the examples of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field to show us how God will provide for us. And his invitation comes to us in Matthew 6 and verses 33 and 34, where he says, these are the words of Jesus, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And isn't that true? Of course it's true. Jesus tells us it's true, but haven't we experienced it? Haven't we experienced that each day has enough trouble of its own? Yet in these words, the Lord Jesus is the one as we trust in Him who will give us what we need for each day, so that as the storms approach and as they overtake us, we know that as our opening hymn taught us, we will have an anchor of our life that is secure in Christ, and we will never be moved. If you think you are the big man, if you think you're the big person, please go back out to sea and realize just how small each and every one of us are. We are small, and we need a Savior. Through the physical storms of the sea and through the many more storms of life. But Jesus is the one who has promised that as every day has enough trouble of its own, we are to seek Him first and His righteousness. And He will be the one who will truly lead us home. So the first thing from this psalm is just how small we are, we truly are. The second thing is that the storm exposes our limits. The storm exposes our limits. And so with the storm approaching in verses 25 to 27, we're confronted with brutal honesty of our own abilities and our own mortality. Because these verses tell us, "For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end." Now, Psalm 107 is describing skilled sailors, their experienced crews. Yet when the storm came, experience wasn't enough. And there are stories in every fishing community around this island of boats caught in storms. If you're on the west coast, then you would know that any boat caught out beyond the fast net, or near Rockall, or in the North Atlantic, or even for some of you in the North Sea, those are not storms you want to be found in. You see, these were men in Psalm 107 who had seen bad weather before, but suddenly found themselves saying, "This is different. As the waters rise and the boat falls, the compass spins, and suddenly all the confidence of experience drains away." Now, the psalm doesn't say that they were nervous. It says that they were at their wits' end. Now, that phrase reaches beyond the sea because many of us here today know that feeling, even if you've never set foot on a boat. Being at our wits' end comes when there is a diagnosis, a loss, a family breakdown, business concerns, a quiet fear that you don't want to talk about and you don't know what to do. And we will quite literally say we are at our wits' end. See, these are moments where skill, money, and strength are simply not enough. Storms have a way of exposing what we cannot control. And how often have we been caught up in one? Indeed, you may feel the wind picking up and the water becoming choppy in these days as you anticipate the storm. Or maybe you feel this morning as if the waters are overtaking you. What are you going to do? To whom are you going to turn? At some point, all our experience, all the advice of others is going to run out, and you will be left with decision in the cold light of reality. As storms swirl around you, there is one to whom you can go and on whom you can trust, and it is the Lord Jesus. He invites you to come to Him and trust in Him, that He will see you through the storm. That's why Peter writes what he does. Having faced the physical storms of the sea as a fisherman and the storms of life as a persecuted follower of Jesus. And he tells us in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." So even Peter tells us that whenever these storms are raging, there's only one we can go to because he experienced this himself. And these are 11 words that tell us what we need to hear, because first, there's something we can do with our fear and our anxiety in the midst of the storm, and that is we can give it away. Jesus invites us to give it to Him as we trust Him And he will give us his peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, in the midst of the storm, you can feel peace. Now that's contradictory. How in the midst of a storm can you be at peace? That's why it is a peace that surpasses all understanding, because it is given to us by God through his Son Jesus as we trust in him. So when Peter calls us to cast all your anxiety on Christ, he's saying, give it away and trust. Because the second thing to know from these 11 words is that you're cared for. That's why we can give it away. Even when you feel so small, even when you feel so insignificant and helpless and all alone, there is one who will never abandon you, and it is the Savior. His heart is gentle and it is lowly. And in him you will find the rest that you need. And so as we think of these storms that may be coming or that are all around you and how they make us feel our limits, it is Jesus who says, give it to me. That's why for our closing hymn this morning, which is a new one we've been learning over recent weeks and one that the choir sung as an anthem 2 years ago, the chorus says to us, as a refrain, as a cry, as a prayer, I set my hope on Jesus, my rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus. A storm will show you your limits. Will you set your hope on Christ and trust in no other? Knowing that he is the one who cares for you, and you can cast all your anxiety, all your fears on him, because he is the living Son of God who gave his life for us and rose again, so that that salvation may be ours and our faith is well placed, because he is the one who will see you through the storm and will bring you at last to the harbor, safe and bright. We are people where the storm exposes our limits, but Jesus is limitless. So cast all your cares and anxieties on him, because he cares for you. The third thing that this psalm says is it's a cry that brings deliverance. Because as the storm rages, we see that these experienced sailors can do nothing but cry out to the Lord. Being at their wits' end and having done everything, there's only one thing left to do. And so the psalm tells us, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Did you notice what they didn't do? They didn't fix the storm because they couldn't. They didn't master the waves because no amount of skill could do that. Instead, knowing their human limitations, they cried out to the only one who could rescue them. And every fishing community understands the message of a May Day call. When it's sent, all pride is gone. No one says, we'll manage ourselves. You call out because lives depend on it. And Psalm 107 says, when they cried out to the Lord, he did what they could not do. The psalmist writes, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Now the calm didn't come from their skill. It came from God's mercy. And that is where the psalm points us beyond itself and to Jesus. Because in the Gospels, we meet the Son of God who stands in a boat in the middle of a storm and says, peace, be still. And the disciples ask the same question that this psalm asks. Who is this? And the answer to the disciples, the answers to the singers of this psalm, and to us today, is the one who brings us to our desired haven. Now you can suggest many a place that you think will be a haven for you, places of this earth, but they are not true havens or havens of rest. Their supposed security lasts only a breath. The true haven we need is the assurance of eternity, and that's eternity in heaven, and that's what Jesus gives. This psalm is not just a story about surviving a storm. This psalm is a picture of salvation. Because the God who rules the waves is the God who invites us to trust Him with our lives. Just as fishermen trust their lives to a lifeboat crew in the midst of the storm and to the Mayday cry, so we are invited to trust our lives to Christ. Not because we are strong, but because He is faithful. We simply cannot survive the storms of life, the storms of sin, the storms that others bring on us on our own. We need a Savior to rescue us and bring us to the desired haven of heaven. And you can't get there on your own, no matter how good you think you might be, because Jesus warns us of this in John 14. He says, for us not to fear or not to be worried. And He tells us that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. To survive the storms of life is to know the One who can only save us, and that is Jesus. Last October, we'll be familiar with the storms that battered us a little bit in the autumn. And Pamela and I were coming home from London, and we were on a British Airways plane that landed into Belfast City Airport. And we were the last plane to land that day because the plane that came just 20 minutes after us was the one that you all saw taking and then doing an emergency takeoff again because it couldn't land. So we were the ones that got down safely. And as I told people about this whenever we got home, a few comments were made. There were no atheists on that plane. And everyone, I'm sure, was in prayer. And you know, I think they're absolutely right. There was a storm. We were in the smallest tin can you can imagine. And there were no atheists because each one was crying out to God. Don't tell me if you're a fisherman where you've been in the highest of waves that have brought crashing down upon you. You have not cried out to God. You've made all the promises. I'll go to church. I'll do this. I'll do that. But as soon as the storm comes, well, then you go back in your word. You think you can save yourself. You think you're limitless. And you think you're big. Storms tell us we are small. We have our limits. And there's only one who can save us. And it is Jesus who invites us by saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Survive the storms of life through salvation in Jesus. Whether they be storms on the sea or storms of the life all around you, trust in His goodness and His grace, and He will lead you home to the true haven of rest, eternity in heaven. Don't ignore Him. Don't walk away, but come to Him and know Him as the only one who can truly rescue. Let's pray. Our Father God, in Your loving kindness, You warn us of what life is like. From the beginning of the Old Testament through to the end of the New Testament, You tell us, using images of the sea, just how small we are and just how great You are. So may we not ignore, but be like those merchants and sailors of old who out in the storm were awestruck on the sea of the power and the might and the majesty of You and the control of Your creation. Father, we cannot control the situations and circumstances around us. We will call them storms. Only You can. So help us to look only to You. Yes, as we set our hope on Jesus, knowing that He is the one who will truly hold us fast to the end, where You will welcome us into that haven of rest, bright and glorious, because this day we have placed our trust in Christ and in Him alone. So may we respond well to this, Your word, this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.